Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
If things are not working, all you just have to do, like they do even in the natural world, you sit, and Jesus had provision for it, you sit and calm the course. Look at what you are doing. If you need to review, if you need to re-strategize. And because you also have the mind of Christ, it will give you solution for wherever you are. So Christ has redeemed us from poverty. Poverty is not a sign of spirituality. It's not a sign. God doesn't give us humility that way. You know, people have come up with many theology about this, that you need to be humble, you need to be... The truth is that it's just because we would have been changed. Because otherwise, when we get to heaven, some of us will accuse God of being too extravagant. Because when you see things, God is a God of power, is a God of excellence. In fact, the way God operates, he said, when I need to eat, I don't need to consult you. So it means on his own. He said, what David could just said about it, he said, oh Lord, my God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. He said, when I look at the works and the things that you have done, he said, what is it about this a project called man, that your mind is so full of him. It's like you have made him a little lower than the Elohim, a little lower than God himself. And you have made him to be in charge over all things. Psalm 115 verse 16 says, the heavens, even the heavens belong to God. That's his area of jurisdiction. It's about the earth, not the world. The heart he has given to the sons of men. So God expects us to push things for him here. And sometimes to push things for him, you have to be number one in your career path. You have to be number one, one of the players in the business. So what you have, the Holy Spirit reside on you. You must allow the life of God to come. It's a spirit of excellence. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of wisdom. It's a spirit of counsel. It's a spirit of understanding. So God has opened up life to us. It's called Zoe, the life of God. As a student, you are supposed to be the best student in the university. As a worker, the best worker who won the prize continually every year. It reminds me of the story of one of our sisters here who is in a particular industry. And you know, I think it was last year, she was sharing the testimony. Last year, for the whole of that industry in Nigeria, she won the prize. And then this year, it was just like, yo, she won the prize again. And the prize involved 1 week training outside, free tickets and all that. But he said, this year when she won the prize, people came to her and said, what kind of medicine are you using? Because they couldn't just fathom it. Because there are other big players in that industry who are much more bigger than our own company. But the difference is, she told them, Christ makes a difference. Christ. And we must come to that point where we allow this life to find expression. Allow the Holy Ghost to lead you into areas of businesses and you will see him. Greater and mighty. Allow him to lead you in your family. Allow him to lead you in your career path. You will see his hand. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I want to believe much more than I can see myself now that the Holy Ghost has the business strategy that you need in his coffer. And if you can just learn to tap into what Christ has done for us, we will become full beneficiaries of the blessings of God. One of the ways, I like to say this, I don't know if you will say it I just came to the Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. I know, Pastor Edward, I want you to talk about that area when you are sharing in your session. I've listened to you in times sharing along that. But let's look at the subject of Malachi 3:10. This is one of the things God established for us in the new in the Old Testament, which translates into the New Testament. Malachi 3:10, please open your heart this morning. I know that when we want to talk about this area, people have different. It said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive them. I just discovered in my study that Abraham, you know, people argue, so I'm not here for the argument. So what I'm here to tell you is that Abraham paid tithe 500 years before tithe was instituted in the Old Testament. You can go and study. Jacob paid tithe 250 years before Moses wrote that and established it. So it is not whether it is an Old Testament practice. And then even the New Testament practice, you see that Hebrews 7:8 talks about the priesthood of Jesus, which is the understanding that all of us must also have. Because sometimes today, when we pay tithe, there is something that tells the believer that he's paying a tithe to a pastor. I know that those things have been, there are many wider subjects on it. But hey, if you are giving your tithe, you are giving it in worship. Hebrews 7:8, can I get that? So it's not just an Old Testament practice. It's not just a New Testament practice. But if you have covenant relationship with God, that is your parity. He said, here mortal men receive tithe. But there he received them. He was referring to Jesus, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So the subject of tithing, which is a mark of your stewardship, is something that has been before the ancient times. It is the same yesterday. It is the same today, and it will probably be the same forever, because God is not asking the whole world to pay tithe. He's asking his own covenant people. This is the proof of your stewardship, that when I give you strength to make a living, just make like a return. Everyone who works makes a return. Even government makes a return. They call it tax returns. So the kingdom is established on that principle. So Moses just had to write it down. That's what he makes. So 500 years. And the question will be, who taught Abraham to start paying? It came out of his personal relationship. Abraham was an idol worshiper. So he had no father or no parents to teach him that. But out of that relationship, and then he began. And you read many chapters after. He was rich in cattle. That's the starting point. Then at one level of growth in his life, he became rich in gold and silver. At one level, he had personal trained some. So it's from one level of faithfulness to another. And then God eventually revealed to him as the El Shaddai, the big-breasted one, the all-sufficient one. If you need healing, I am here. If you need provision, I am here. If you need victory, I am here. The all-sufficient one. So, I think, personal opinion, not Bible opinion. I think that as human beings, it is because of our selfishness that we contest some of these things. I said personal opinion. I didn't say Bible opinion. I think most of the times we are like small kids. I play with small kids here. Sometimes you give them sweet. I may have a packet in my fridge. And so I just give them one. The next minute you ask any intelligent child, can I have it? What you hear is no. You know that if the child can just understand that I have packets, it won't be difficult. But you know that if the child realizes that I have five in my hands already, the child won't resist. It means that whatever you do in terms of covenant relationship with God is on the platform of faith. And the difference between someone like Thomas and the other disciples is, until I see, I won't believe. And if you are going to walk with God, you must believe before you see. You must believe. Abraham believed God, and then it was answered to him. So it's also a personal walk. It's a personal walk. I mean, the New Testament is laden within. We can't force anyone to give, but there is a blessing. Oh, you've taken the seat. But there is a blessing if you walk with God. And you know, just like it happened even with children. Children don't take steps just once like that. No. Where you are is the good place to start. Because in Malachi, he said, prove me now. Prove me now. Prove me now. So, we are redeemed from poverty. Poverty is also a mindset. It's not present or lack of money. It is a mindset. In my own little experience, I've seen people who don't have, yet they have given their way out of lack. And I've seen people who have, but who refuse to give, and then it shrinks in their hands. So you and I, in covenant relationship, I want you to leave this conference and go ask God questions. This subject of finances, Holy Spirit, teach me. And you will be wonderful how God will reveal himself to you. And it will be wonderful when God says, are you ready? Because you have to come to that place, just like Abraham did. Are you ready to go with me on this adventure? And he says, do this kind of business. And you will be one. It will surprise you that when you begin to take that step with him, what will begin to happen around your life? Jesus sat over the treasury, not because he wanted to measure how much people we are going to give, but he wanted to see who understood stewardship. And so they said the Pharisees were there. And those Pharisees, it's just a question of, we do it in some of our denominational churches where we call everybody out, come and do special Thanksgiving, and people will come with their agbada, come with their everything, and then they drop an envelope. And usually, there was one service we went to somewhere, and I look at, because I was asked, you know, when you conduct burial, they said the children of the deceased should come and hold the bowl. So, and I was looking at the tons of, so I stood like that, holding the bowl. So I was watching the tons of people, expensive gold wristwatches, I mean, agbada, everything. And people were dropping 50 naira, 20, 20. Some even requested for change. So I realized that this thing is actually, when it comes to the subject of money, everybody just tightened up. Proverbs 11, 24, 25. Before I go to the other one, I know my time is up, but let's just teach today. Today is the last day of the conference. So it's not like the regular service, but we would still finish on time. Proverbs 11, 24, it said, there is one who scatters. Can you give me in the Amplified? There is one. It said, there are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. And there are those who withhold more than it is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. The liberal person shall be what? In other words, he has, but it will be added to him. He has, there will be a constant flow of supply. He who waters shall himself be what? So if you are in that covenant lane with God, God will ensure that he totally enriches your life. There are many things that money can buy. I don't know who in the course of the conference who came up here. I don't know whether it was you or someone else. And he just gave this illustration that, I mean, if you get to the hospital, for example, doctors, we confirmed this. We all, as we are here now, we are breathing, the AC is blowing. But there are some people that are aided to breathe. And they pay. And it's not small money. So there are certain privileges God has given us. Number one privilege is life. It's not a right. It's a privilege. For you and I to open our eyes this morning, it is a privilege. Second privilege that you have that is attached to this life, ability to walk. Someone in the hospital don't think about strategy, management strategy. No. The only strategy they think about is how to get well. So, but all of us, we have been given the privilege to walk. And attached to that privilege is the ability to think. There are many people at Yaba left. So you see how this privilege is elongated. When we need protection, we don't argue with God. When we need preservation, we don't argue with God. When we need to use the name of his son to get things done, favor and all that, we don't argue. But when he says, give, that's when the problem starts. It's a mindset. Whatever we all have, we have received. We have received. And God is the one who has packets, volumes, trailer load, container load of those opportunities in his coffer. And it's a journey of faith. Someone who is blind, eh? If I'm physically challenged and I can't see, it means I'm depending on other people to live, isn't it? Even with all the things, the learning style, I still need people. I need to know how to listen to sound. I need to know when the car is coming. So the blind is absolutely dependent. The same way God wants us to absolutely depend on him. A lot of the time, we like to figure things out in our own way, but it has not worked, and it will not work. It can work. And it will not work. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord God is wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Last day today, we are redeemed from sickness. We are redeemed. Say, a lot of the time, believers don't even know what they are redeemed from. So they just say, I'm redeemed from sin. Sin, that's just, it's partly true. It is not, it is, what generated sin is spiritual death, separation from God. That's when God, man can't see God. And so whatever he feels right, you know, that's the how we discover this feeling. I feel like, I think like. Christ has redeemed us. Sickness is a curse of the law. And you know, if you read Deuteronomy 28, you see many of it listed there. And one thing that cut through my heart, he said, and in addition, these sicknesses, and in addition to the ones that have not been discovered. So there are certain things that are being discovered now. They were not there in those days. And God is not an author of sickness. Otherwise, God will be breaking his own law. He's not. The permissive sense is that when we break the hedge, serpent can bite. God is giving, has given man authority to dominate here. So if a man run out of that cover, he says, if the serpent should, if there is a crack and the serpent should come, it will surely bite. So sometimes, and then God has given us wisdom. Let me also say this. It doesn't necessarily mean demonic. God has given us wisdom. He has established what to eat, how to rest. There are many things that wears our immune system down as a result of overthinking. And overthinking, I understand, I just studied that, is a form of pride. You think you can sort yourself out. And all God is saying, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. That leads, overthinking can lead to self-dependence. He said, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart. It's not that you don't have mind to think. You have the mind of Christ. No, but you are just saying, Lord, this is my thinking. I say, yes, it's good, but I want you to do it this way. And if God prosper your way that way, it is cheaper, it is quicker, and it is with less stress. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So sickness, sometimes we overwork ourselves because we are not listening So the bugs are in us. And sometimes because people break edges, so serpent bites and sickness comes. But whichever way, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from spiritual death. He has redeemed us from poverty. He has redeemed us from sickness. Exodus 15:26, he said, is one translation says, is the Lord God our personal physician? Lord God, our personal physician. Lord God, our personal physician. I know doctors are in this, so if everybody is well, how we will run business. The people are not under the covering. We come. Don't worry. I'm talking to covenant people this morning. Our redemption consists of redemption from sickness. Sickness is never a blessing. Ask those who are sick. You need other people. You are dependent on other people. Somebody wants to go out. They can't go out because you need that care. Somebody needs to do something. They can't do it. They will have to plan their time, their resources around you. So sickness can never be a blessing. God is not an author of it because it is called disease, something that robs you of your his. So disease is a broken his, is a thief, it's a robber. God doesn't put sickness on us to humble us or teach us a lesson. As some theologians are taught people in church. No. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible says, if men who are evil know how to give good gifts, it said nobody will ask for biscuit and you give your son or daughter scorpion. He said, if we know how to give good gifts, he said, how much more your heavenly Father? So God is not an author of sickness. God doesn't give sickness to humble people. As a matter of fact, David said in Psalm 91 verse 14, he said, with long life. So you are the one to determine how satisfactory you want to live. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So we have a better covenant. We have the better promises. If you look at the subject of healing, you can write this down. Hebrews 13:8. Read it when you get home. Hebrews 13:8. John 1:14. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 17, 1 Peter 2, 24, Hebrews 13, 8, John 1, 14, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 17, Christ as Redeemer, 1 Peter 2, 24, Christ has redeemed us. Say with me this morning, I am redeemed. From spiritual death, from poverty, from sickness. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I've been translated from spiritual death to spiritual life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Spiritual death has passed away. Poverty has passed away. Sickness has passed away. I have the Zoe, the life of God. I walk in blessing. I dwell in blessing. I live in blessing. I manifest blessing because the blessing of God in my life has made and will continue to make me rich in Jesus' name. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar person. I have the life of God in me. I have the life of Jesus in me. In Jesus' name. You want to lift up your voices and just appreciate him this morning? We are redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is in threefold. Spiritual death. We are redeemed from poverty. We are redeemed from sickness. You can master it. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. But you are under grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,